Welcome to I Do, I Sue, a family law podcast with Timothy Nichols and Gillian Yeend.
So, Tim, we have the pleasure of working together in the family law team at Chamberlains, and I think we've known each other personally and professionally for almost 7 years or more. How long do you think it's been?
I think it's about 7 years. That's right.
It's a long time. And, you know, having known you for some time, I'm pretty sure that your tastes could be described as refined or sophisticated.
Let's just go with that for the purpose of the podcast today.
Okay. All right. I'm good with that. And I'm also pretty sure that you don't spend a lot of time watching dodgy reality TV shows.
That would be safe to say.
Okay. And knowing me, it probably wouldn't surprise you that I do spend some time watching dodgy reality TV shows when my family are out and I don't get caught by anyone doing those things.
I love that you're trying to watch it while your family's out, not getting caught. Now we're publishing it to the world on this podcast.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. So this episode of our podcast is really about getting to know each other, even though we've known each other for some time. And on one of those dodgy TV shows that I sometimes watch in secret, which is Married at First Sight, quite topical for our podcast, they do have this exercise, which is, you know, created by some psychologists. So there must be some science behind it. And that exercise is the getting to know you question box.
Well, this sounds good.
Yeah, okay. So are you up for this?
I'm always up for it.
All right. And so in the getting to know you question box, and full disclosure, what seems to happen is that sometimes it brings people closer together, other times it completely annihilates the relationship from the word go, and people hold grudges from the question box. So this may be our only podcast
today.
So this
may make or break our professional relationship.
This may break or make or one of those our professional relationship. But, you know, what they do is they get a bunch of questions that have been written by other people. These ones have actually been written by us. And, you know, they get to know each other. So are you ready to go?
I was born ready.
Okay. I know you were. And we've got 10 questions. Okay. So should we start with question number one?
Okay, pick it out. What's in the box?
All right, what's in the box? Question one, Timothy. Why did you become a lawyer?
I'm not sure, but I've regretted it every day since.
Same.
I'm kidding. It was more out of necessity. I started doing a commerce degree and I absolutely hated it. And I thought that this may be something good to try. And here we are all these years later.
And are you glad that you went down that path?
I did. I love my job. I feel very lucky each day.
Yeah, great, great.
So let's go back to the box. Oh, this is funny. It's the same question for you. Why did you become a lawyer?
Yeah, so at the end of year 12, I actually wanted to write for trashy women's magazines, and I did get a job which was going to be unqualified and I think was going to pay me about $14,000 a year, and my parents basically said, no, you have to go to uni. And that's what I got into. So I was like, here we go. And again, you know, now I'm quite happy that that's been the outcome, especially given what's happened to the magazine industry. I think, you know, that would have been pretty fatal. But yeah, so we both started on different paths.
Fantastic. And yet here we are.
Here we are.
Yeah.
All right. Question two. I think we've answered that. So question two, did you do another degree?
I've done a couple. So I did law by itself, and then I did a graduate diploma of legal practice, which is what we have to do to become admitted lawyers. And subsequent to that, I've got a master's degree in family law as well.
Yeah, great. That's why you're so clever as part of our team. Like, and you've got all the answers.
I just want all the papers all over the walls. That's easy.
Yeah, nice. Nice. All about the aesthetics.
Yeah. And what about you?
Yeah, I did. I had to do a double degree when I went through uni. So I did arts as my other degree and I majored in film studies, which is super relevant to what we do now.
It's true.
Yeah.
Going through all that CCTV footage and different matters and stuff, you'd be an expert at that. You'd be like, this is a wide shot, people.
Yeah, totally. I haven't thought about it that way, but that's good. Next question, because we're just going to run through these. What is it about family law that interests you?
I find it fascinating that our legal advice and the role that we play has immediate consequences in people's lives. To suggest, you know, a certain thing should happen a particular way or things move forward in another way, those actions have consequences and they're felt immediately.
Yeah, it's true. That is really true.
Mm. And what about you?
Same question?
Same question from the box.
Well, I think there's three things. I like meeting people, problem solving, and going to court. They're probably also the three things that I find most vexing about
That's
our job.
True.
So,
that's true.
I don't know how it sort of ends up that way, but basically, I think they're the main motivators in terms of my job satisfaction.
I think that's the core function of us as lawyers, is to provide solutions to problems.
Yeah, and the problems are often pretty tricky.
Very tricky.
Yeah, and emotional.
Very emotional.
All right, so moving on. What's the most common question you get asked at parties as a family lawyer?
What's your best story?
And what is your best story?
So a client came to see me years ago and she was in a de facto relationship. They'd been together for about 25 years. And throughout that 25-year relationship, her ex-partner, in family law we call them the de facto husband, even though mm-hmm. they weren't married, the de facto husband had a gambling problem. And over that 25-year relationship, they'd lost three houses. They'd lost all of their savings. Every penny that ever came in went down the pokies. So then at the end of the relationship, she came to see me and she told me, she goes, on the weekend, his phone went off and he was in the shower. So I went to check it and I saw all of these text messages. The 25-year relationship where she thought she'd been supporting her partner through gambling addiction and so on and so forth and all the consequences of that and their, you know, perilous financial position as a result actually wasn't because of gambling, but for the other family and relationship he'd had fostering three other children with his other partner outside of their relationship.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a pretty shocking thing to find out by text message, don't
it's
you think?
Very, very shocking and also great fodder for dinner parties.
Yeah, great fodder. And also great fodder for just litigation
it's
as well.
True.
Like writing the affidavit material in that matter
Absolutely.
Must have been quite delightful.
It was a hoot. It was a hoot. It was one of those ones where you just think, no, there's someone who's done something very wrong here and, you know, being on the right path of justice.
And do you bring out that story at every dinner party?
Absolutely.
Or have you perfected it over the years?
I've perfected it, but also the circumstances in that matter were perfect. You just think you cannot make this stuff up.
Or did you? Like, was it just a gambling matter
that's
and
right,
suddenly there was another
right,
family at the
right.
end of it?
It all comes around in big circles.
Yeah, it's yeah. true. It's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, I don't think the question I get asked at parties is as exciting as that, although I'm not telling a story. But the thing that I always get asked is, hey, we've separated. You know, I've now gone and done these things, but it's all okay, isn't it? We're just going to use the asset pool at separation. And the answer to that is really simple, which is no.
No.
Like what you've got now is what we're going to deal with.
Yeah.
And people get really sad, go and drink some more drinks, maybe get a bit angry, you know, and so forth. But yeah, that's the thing I get asked the most.
Yeah, wow. Wow. People are quick to move after separation. They think that they can be, especially in financial matters, be quick and savvy about moving things around. I find that perplexing because you can see it all on the bank statements.
Yeah. They're not only quick to move financially, though. Often people are quick to move personally as well,
That's
which
true.
Complicates the property settlement or parenting matter they may have when they've got partner number two on the scene helping them through that
this
process.
This is the Tinder generation. The Tinder generation. One
yeah.
swipe away from a new relationship and another family law matter.
Maybe that's a new advertising strategy.
That's right.
Like, yeah.
One flick away.
Yeah. All right. So next question. Let's keep moving.
Yeah.
Having worked in family law, why do you think people separate?
I think it's dependent on the individual set of circumstances. What I will say to that is that I have never seen in my time as a family lawyer the way people construct their lives gets so complicated. And I think that the way things are now, as opposed to when they were 5 years ago, is very, very different. People in the, you know, administration of their life are doing all sorts of new things and constructing their lives in a very unique way, which creates problems in the way that we deal with the separation and the way things move forward. And it's also a march of the personality. Some people just aren't good at conflict. Some people aren't good at, you know, managing the end of a relationship. You know, there are different aspects to this which, you know, are borne out in a family law matter.
So do you think it's what that people, you know, start a relationship and then find out they're on different paths somewhere down the track? Or do you think it's something more, you know, catastrophic than that? Like, what do you mean by all of that?
I think we see it all. I think that the broad spectrum, there's people that, you know, who are, you know, later in life, the kids have grown up, moved out of home, and they find the common interest that they had has evaporated and they don't know who they're living with anymore. You know, there are all sorts of scenarios and things that lead to the relationship breakdown. I guess that the most important thing that we need to think about as family lawyers is we're a no-fault jurisdiction. How it ended doesn't matter to us unless it's relevant to a fact, an issue, or something that's going on in the matter. You know, we don't need to know, but, you know, I won't have good stories at dinner parties if I don't know.
we sort of do need to know. And, I mean, we want to know.
We want to know. You know. I think it's useful as well, like in a mediation or something, a person's position or the way they adopt a strategy is dependent on their emotional stance and connection to the relationship that they did have.
Yeah.
It's useful in those circumstances.
And it's also useful to understand what people's motivations are, because sometimes these underlying relationship issues are the things that are the impediment to resolution. So it might seem like a really trivial or small issue to us, but, you know, for people where it's been their lived experience and that's been, you know, the factor that really tipped them over the edge in their relationship, that can be the thing that you need to kind of navigate through before you can get to the nuts and bolts of how to affect their property settlement or their parenting matter.
I so agree with you. And there's been many occasions in my career, as I'm sure in yours, where I've been going to court or to a mediation and my client says, I want to bring my new partner for support. And you think that's a really bad idea if you want to settle your matter today when your former partner sees that you've got the new squeeze hanging out in the mediation. Not a good idea.
Yeah, well, that's where you have extra rooms. And
that's right.
You
know. A shuttle conference.
Yeah. But I think that's really, you know, a fair comment to make. And I mean, you know, the big things are, you know, time changes people. There are, you know, nefarious events that can occur that breach trust. And when trust is broken, relationships can fall down. And, you know, just generally, you know, sometimes stuff doesn't work out and people have to move on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's where we come in.
It is. It is where we come in and do things constructively at that point.
That's the point.
So, next question. That was a really long kind of interlude.
It's okay. We're not charging for this time.
Okay, that's good. We are expensive.
That's right.
So, this question kind of flows on from the next one. Having worked in family law, what do you think is essential for a good post-separation relationship?
The way I describe this is I think it needs to become a business-like relationship. You know, you get in, you get out, you do what you need to do and you move forward. You're not going to, you know, have a go at a business associate or someone like that.
You do in the office.
Well,
like,
that's
you're
right.
Taking questions of people, no. Yeah.
It's true. It's true. But I think in the practical sense of separation, especially where children are involved and you need to, or, you know, you own a business together and you need to navigate those issues, you know, adopting a adverse approach to that is really detrimental.
Yeah. And I mean, what kind of that all gets distilled down into is communication is key. Like, you know, and sometimes part of our job, or at least I think it is assisting people to develop a new way of communicating with each other, because sometimes the old way clearly didn't work and led to, you know, relationship breakdown. And, you know, working through a new way of communicating can then assist how we resolve the big problems and how they then go on and resolve problems together once the lawyers are gone, once the court's all over, and get on with their life.
Yeah, I think that's entirely appropriate.
Okay. Next question. What does a bad client do when they see a family lawyer, and what does a good client do?
I also have stories for dinner parties about these sorts of things.
Yeah,
as
I
well.
Know. The bad clients
the
are
bad
always
clients,
the good dinner story.
Oh, my goodness. Yep. A bad client withholds things from his lawyers.
Yeah.
That's a really big problem we see. You know, whether it be embarrassment or, you know, a deliberate attempt to conceal or hide information. I guess the problem that with that is that with knowing what's there or what these issues are, we can manage those issues as best we can. But if we don't know and we show up to court and things are put to us, as has happened many times.
Yeah, I know. The surprise element at court is never a fun game. Like, hi, friend at the other end of the bar table, let me hand this across to you. And you think, you're not meant to ambush your colleagues at court, but in family law,
that happens all the time. And I think that's the biggest thing or woe. Whereas I think, especially, you know, being open and honest with your lawyer about different issues, no matter what they are, you know, people need to be reminded there's confidentiality in the discussions that we have. We're not here to, you know, create judgment or, you know, have a view about things. We're here to assist you to resolve these issues.
And I think family lawyers are surprisingly, or most of them are surprisingly non-judgy about stuff, because
we see personal
stuff day in, day out.
Absolutely.
And, you know, like getting clients' info, I mean, I'm not there making a personal judgment about how they live their life. Everyone's got agency to do whatever they want, but not knowing the really important stuff is just catastrophic to your case.
It is very, very, very catastrophic.
Yeah, so tell your lawyers everything. I agree with you. I agree with you 100%.
But then what does a good client do?
Well, a good client tells you all the stuff.
True.
And, like, lets you know the good, the bad, and the ugly so that you can work out the best way of helping them through their problems.
I agree with that.
Yeah. All right. Next question. This is a good one.
Yeah.
Why are family lawyers the best kind of lawyers?
I think because we're human. I think that to
other lawyers are human.
They are.
Just to put it out there.
But we're not commercial lawyers poring over contracts in our offices. We are dealing with people's everyday situations, you know?
Yeah.
How is someone going to navigate the, you know, movement of the children from one household to another? These are practical things that severely impact people's mental health and their, you know, well-being.
Yeah.
We're the best because we're here to resolve these issues and put people on a more meaningful path.
And it is really practical. Like, some of the stuff that we have to work out, you know, sometimes you get down to it and think, is this even a legal problem? And it is, just in a different kind of way. It's like taking law, putting it on real scenarios, and then working out all of the logistics that need to be worked through to, you know, get people from A to B.
I think that's absolutely true. And if you think about it in a parenting matter, you know, the arrangements have to be practical and reasonable. And you think, what does that mean? It's different for every family, you know, and that's why we go through those issues. We work with people and we're the best because of it.
I feel like the question didn't ask, are we the best lawyers? It just said, why are we the best
lawyers?
That's
right.
So, I mean, it kind of presumed it from the start.
Maths set us up for success.
Yeah. Okay, we've got two more questions.
Okay.
I think we had 10, but maybe this is 11. I don't know. I can't count. What would make the family law system better?
I think that resources are the only thing that are going to make
it. Totally.
We need more judges. Hey, Attorney General, I'm ready for my appointment.
You would look great at, like,
the purple sash across.
Yeah,
I think it would be a vibe. It would be a vibe.
Yeah. Yeah. Is it a purple sash?
It's purple for the Federal Circuit Court and red for the Family Court.
And what's going to happen when we have our court merger?
I don't know. Rainbow stripe?
Yeah, that could be great. But yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. If I'm asked this question as well, and I'm just going to pretend I have been.
Yeah.
It is resources. Like, the family law system at the moment is super delayed. And, you know, when we meet with clients in our first appointments, telling them that, look, it could take 2 years for you to get through a litigation process about your property, and that could be just, you know, getting to sell a house and getting your assets out of that, or, you know, working through that system to get some outcomes on a final basis for your parenting matters. That's pretty horrific for people. And I think that's why lots of family lawyers are really motivated and experienced in alternative dispute resolution processes, because we have to be. People just can't wait that long emotionally or financially or just generally to get an outcome. But yeah, the resources need to be improved. But I don't know the solution in practical terms for that other than money from the government, which, you know, seems
to be not forthcoming.
That's right. Yeah. And we have a court merger coming up at the end of the year, which is going to create more uncertainty. And I think, I don't know about you, but I'm already seeing uncertainty in terms of some of the feedback we're getting from the courts about, well, we can do this now, but we, you know, post this date, we don't know when your matter will get listed or whatever, which is really problematic for clients as well.
I agree. And that's what the court's there, to assist parties to resolve disputes. And we don't know what that's going to look like.
Yeah. So then our last question in our Getting to Know You podcast, and I feel I've gotten to know you, Tim.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I feel the same way. Can I ask this question to you first?
Okay.
If you could be any family lawyer, who would you be?
I'd be, like, this is kind of like who's our spirit animal family lawyer.
Yeah.
And I don't know about personal, like, this is personal politics aside or personalities, because who knows what they're really like in real life. But personally, I'd be Laura Wasser.
Yeah.
Whatever it is.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, then I'd get to act for Kim Kardashian, all of the Hollywood stars. I don't know if she acted for Brad or Angelina, but it was one of them.
Yeah, she did.
But that's who I'd be.
Yeah, right.
And who would you be?
I would be Baroness Fiona Shackleton.
I see. Yeah, of course you would be.
There's a famous photo, and for our very large audience of listeners, of Fiona Shackleton walking out of court with Sir Paul McCartney after the finalisation of his family law matter. When the judge gave judgment, the other party threw the jug of water all over her head in open court. And there's a picture of her walking out with soaked hair with Sir Paul McCartney.
But she, I've seen pictures of her. I know, she won. And I mean, I've seen pictures of her and she always looks impeccable. So I'm sure she still looked fabulous despite the drowning.
Well, she acted for Prince Charles when he was separating from Diana.
Yeah, okay. So you've got some, again, more refined client taste than I do. But I feel we've both aimed high regardless.
Oh, my goodness.
So, yeah.
It is. It is. It all it is.
Yeah. All right. Well, look, that is the end of our Getting to Know You podcast session. Yeah. And we will talk about some more, you know, legally things next time.
Absolutely.
But do you think that's been helpful, Tim?
I think it's been very, very helpful.
Yeah. All right. And we look forward to talking to you about legal problems in the future.
Can't wait.
You've been listening to I Do, I Sue, a family law podcast with Timothy Nichols and Gillian Yeend. To find out more about your hosts and what they do, visit chamberlains.com.au. And now, here's the bit the boss insisted we say. The information in this podcast is for general educational purposes only. None of the content should be considered legal advice. Please don't make decisions based on the information in this podcast without seeking professional legal advice of your own. For more information, visit chamberlains.com.au.